I want to say before I forget, I sure appreciate your pastor, and he's been mighty good to us, and of course to Josh and Amber and our grandkids, and they call him Pawpaw and Pawpaw Ken, and he's just been a blessing. I know that you know what you've got in a pastor. Amen. Obviously you do. And the way you take care of him and the way you love him, and you better thank God for him. Amen. And you better not take him for granted. Too few and too far between. Amen. And you have got a man of God. He sure was a blessing and a help to us, to our church, and had one of the best camp meetings I've ever been a part of, and largely in part because of the way the Lord used your pastor. And I sure appreciate the fact that, again, God has crossed our paths and gives us the privilege to get to serve him. You know, the only reason that I'm here is because God did say he chose the foolish things. Yeah, amen. Amen. And the weak. Yeah. That's who you're looking at tonight. And what a privilege, again, just to get to name his name. Amen. And what an honor it is, again, just to get to hear the singing we've heard. Amen. How marvelous. How wonderful. I'm so glad I'm saved tonight. Amen. I remember where the Lord found me. And boy, I tell you, if you only knew where Jesus brought me from. Amen. I'm so thankful again that God saves old sinners. Amen. That's certainly what I was, and I'm thankful again that I'm not everything that I will be, but I'm sure thankful I ain't what I was either. Amen. And when he saved me, he changed me, and he's given me a life with purpose. He gave me a spring in my step and a song in my heart. Amen. By the way, he gave my wife a new husband. He gave my children a new daddy. He gave me a new purpose in life. A purpose in life, I should say. Well, I tell you, I just ain't nothing like. If the world could just see our Savior in the glory that we've seen him in tonight, wouldn't it make a difference? Don't you feel sorry for folk that don't know him? Well, I do tonight. I feel so sorry for them. I really do. I want them to know him. I want them to, those of my loved ones and friends and those acquaintances that don't know him, I want them to understand. I wish I could just shake them. Make them wake up. If I could break the arm and make them get saved, it would, but it wouldn't work. Well, I'm glad he saved me tonight and have the privilege again to be here this evening. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of 3 John this evening. The book of 3 John. While you're turning there, let me say again, I appreciate your pastor for making this possible for us to get to be here this weekend and spend the time with Josh and Amber and also Brother Jimmy and Miss Kathy and, of course, the grandkids. He's right about them grandkids, by the way. They ain't nothing. If I'd known grandkids were going to be so much fun, I just skipped mine and just went straight to the grandkids. Amen. We've got a 13-year-old girl, Leah. She's 12. It's 13 years between her and Amber, our other youngest one. So we've had two youngest kids, and Miss Hill and I, for a long time, didn't know if we was going to have any grandkids. So we decided we'd just have our own. So we've got five children, and I thank the Lord for each one of them. They're all serving the Lord, and thank God for them. And it seems like every time I turn around, God does something for me. God blesses me. So, preacher, what do you do? I just keep turning around. Amen. Well, I turned around again today. We've had church today. Amen. Again, I start to say I'm thankful again for your pastor and your church and the kids this morning. That was such a blessing and thrilled my soul. Them kids come by and put the dollars in. I tell the folks at our church, we've got about, 65 or so in the youth choir. And those kids love their preacher. And I tell our folk that we're going to change our bylaws and let kids vote, and they'll never be able to vote me out. Amen. And I love them. Just a tremendous blessing to have those youngins come. They took up about $80. Amen. That's not bad. Amen. I appreciate that. That was a blessing. And so that was certainly a blessing. Thank you very much. Thank you, church, for letting us be a part with you today. And if you have your Bibles there, we're going to read there in the book of 3 John. I did want to say, too, I appreciate Brother Jimmy Adams. Brother Jimmy Adams, by the way, and Miss Kathy, they have four children. I'm sorry. I was thinking about something else. But anyway, they've got four children, and they have a daughter that's married to my son, and of course, their son's married to my daughter. So we've got some grandkids that are double cousins with Colton, and we're just like family anyway. But he's also one of my deacons. Preacher, I wished every church, every pastor in America had a deacon like Jimmy Adams. I can't tell you the number of times he stood between the preacher and a problem. I can't tell you the number of times that he has stood up for this pastor, for his pastor, and the things that the Lord's allowed him and caused him to do to be a help to this preacher. Every man of God needs those mighty men you preached on the other day at camp meeting. He's one of them. I thank the Lord for him. He and Miss Kathy are certainly a blessing and help to us, and I appreciate them so much. And, of course, I'm thankful, church, that you let us take part with you today. If you have your Bibles there in verse number 1, the Bible said, the third John, the elder, that being John the elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore I come, if I come, he said, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and causeth them, or rather casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of a truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity again to be in your house this evening. Lord, and I pray that you'll bless this time as we focus our attention upon the Word of God. And I pray, dear Holy Spirit of God, that ye would do the work that needs to be done in this place tonight. We certainly don't want to quench you. We don't want to throw a wet blanket on what you've already done. And so, Lord, we want to pray that you'll help us, God, just to be a blessing and a help to this preacher and this church. We don't want to say anything, do anything this evening that would hinder, Lord, what you want done. Again, we thank you for the privilege to be able to take part in the work of God. Now, again, Holy Ghost, we pray that you'll direct us in this message and in this preaching time, and give ears to hear, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Your preacher had told me that about what was going on with the missions program here. And, after hearing what the Lord has already done and is doing in your hearts and this church concerning missions, I'm afraid to mention it. I might mess it up. afraid to try to do anything. By the way, I'd just like tonight just to encourage you just to keep on keeping on. Amen. And just go on and do what God wants you to do. And I want to draw our attention tonight, if you would, on verse number 8 and in 3 John that we just read. And he said that we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. You know, I believe that that's what every local New Testament church ought to have the desire to do. And that's to be a fellow helper to the truth. Amen. That's what missions-minded churches do. They're fellow helpers to the truth. And that, by the way, that word fellow helper, that just simply means a companion in labor. Amen. A work fellow. And I'm glad again that we get to work together. Amen. And I'm glad that we have the opportunity and the privilege to be able to be a part of the greatest work that's going on this side of heaven. Amen. And that is to be involved in reaching boys and girls and men and women for the Lord Jesus Christ. Getting the gospel. Amen. Perhaps what they've never heard before. And what an opportunity and privilege that we have. Let me give you just a little background. And I know that you know about 3 John here. And, you know, we understand that this book, of course, revolves around three individuals that we just read about. There was a fellow named Gaius who was obviously a pastor. In verse number 1, I believe that Gaius is typical of an exhorter. And I believe a pastor is that. Amen. There's a time when a pastor needs to rebuke and he has to be a strong leader. Amen. Especially today because of the diotrophies that are going to be coming around. Amen. And blessed is a church that don't have a diotrophy, but I don't know many that don't have one that loves to have the preeminence. They want to tell the preacher, the man of God, what to do. I had a lady come to me a while back, not too long ago, and she started telling me the way that things ought to be run. Not even a member. The way things that ought to be done. And I said, ma'am, I said, now listen, there are some things that I'd be glad to listen to you about. She said, but I've got a degree in theology. I said, well, good, amen. I'm glad about that. And she said, but you don't understand. I said, but what you don't understand is that you've never pastored a church, amen. By the way, you're not qualified to anyhow, amen. And you ain't going to tell me anything about pastoring, amen. And the honest truth is that, by the way, fellas, amen, your pastor ain't going to come down and tell you how to run your business. He ain't going to try to take over, amen. I'm not saying that you don't have a say in church. I'm not saying that you ought not to take part in the decisions and being and offer your pastor again advice and counsel, amen. None of us are perfect, and we all need help, amen. Hey, but you listen to me, because you got a man of God, amen, there's a decision for the church, somebody's got to make it. And by the way, I'm glad that God gives a man of God that is, by the way, willing to take a stand on the Word of God and follow the Holy Ghost of God and do what God wants him to do. Amen. Well, you've got that kind of man. Well, again, Gaius was an exhorter. And we also see that Diotrephes being the egotist, amen. And he was a problem. And exhorter, Gaius, pastor, egotist, Diotrephes, a problem. And then there's a fellow named Demetrius there as well, who was a promoter, amen. And John, by the way, I believe is writing here about being a fellow helper to the truth, being a fellow helper, if you will, to getting the gospel into the world, amen. I'm thankful again. Your pastor mentioned all that you've done and are doing about home missions. Amen. And I believe that's important. I believe it's important that you keep mama healthy. Amen. This is mama. But I want you to understand something. Every ministry that goes out of this church is a baby. Amen. And it's something that that God gives you the privilege to take part of and to be a fellow helper to the truth to get the gospel into the regions beyond. Amen. Macedonian missions, whatever you call it, amen. I know that it'd be something along the same lines what we do. We call faith promise missions. And because of what you've done, the commitment that you made, is exactly the way that we do what we call our faith promise. And so we recognize again that there is a principle being laid out here. And John writing about that. And he said there's some commitment that certainly needs to be involved. And basically, again, missions is you giving your money to your church missions program. Amen. And boy, it got quite thin, didn't it? Mentioned money. All you preachers always after money. Not me. Amen. I'm not always after money. By the way, listen to me. You'll rob yourself of one of the greatest blessings of God if you don't get involved in giving. Amen. By the way, while we're there, let's go on and turn over, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 real quickly. I want to just hit this while I'm on it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we notice again verse number, let me just read verse number 8. Bible said, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. And by the way, let me say this. Look over there in just a minute in verse number 9. We're going to look at just our chapter number 9 and look at just a couple of verses. He said, now concerning the churches at Macedonia, he said in verse 3, I bear record to their power. I bear record, yea, beyond their power. They were willing of themselves, praying with us, much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Now, we recognize again that, by the way, these Macedonians were not a very wealthy people. Amen. They gave out of their poverty. You say, preacher, how do you give more than you have? Well, you go back and understand that God is able to give more than you can ever put out. Amen. And God will do more for you than you never be able to do for Him. Amen. They gave to and beyond their power. I said I was going to read a couple of verses there in chapter 9. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6. We'll read that as well. He said, but I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, he said, to let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad and hath given to the poor. His righteousness is, again, remaineth forever. Now, several things, again, I believe about giving to missions. First of all, he said, every man, in verse number 7. I believe that every man, by the way, ought to take part in the mission. Now, we do our very best to get everybody involved in our missions program. I'm talking about every boy and every girl. We want to get everybody involved. You say, but preacher, my little bit ain't much. It don't matter how much it is. Amen. The truth is that God, little is much when God is in it. Amen. We're going to look at that widow and her two mites in just a little bit. But we understand that, first of all, missions giving is a personal thing. Every man. And then only that, but it ought to be planned according as he purposeth in his heart. Amen. Have you planned on giving to missions? Have you? And by the way, we're going to get on tithing just a little bit. Not much, but verse number 7 there, and not only that, but he said, let him give. I believe that, by the way, that it ought to be something you do persistently. We said personal, we said planned, we said persistent. Amen. You ought to stick to it. Let him give. Amen. Why? Because those missionaries are counting on you. Amen. Why? Because God's blessings are counting on you being faithful what you committed to do. And then only that, look if you will, we go on a little bit further. He said, not grudgingly or necessity, God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. And positive, I believe our missions give, you don't have to, it's not something negative. Amen. I don't grudgingly put that money, you say, preacher, but just think about all the things that you could do with that money that you're putting into missions. Yeah, but if you do what you're supposed to do and just think about all the things that God could do with your little, He'll turn your little into a whole lot, and you go ahead and spend it on yourself. You go ahead and spend it on whatever you want, and you're going to miss out on the blessings of God. Now, I've been at this thing long enough to know that any church that has the mind of God concerning missions, that God is going to bless them. Amen. Our church has grown over the last several years, and our missions given from just last 7 years from $50,000 a year. I'm not throwing numbers out trying to impress you, because truth is you don't compare yourself out with us. Amen. And you do what you're supposed to do. We try to do what we're supposed to do. Amen. I ain't trying to get you to measure up to us, and I ain't going to try to measure up to you. Amen. Truth is, I'm going to try to measure up. I'm going to try to run my race. I want you to run your race, amen. I want you to do what God wants you to do. That's all I want, amen. I want you to understand the importance of being what God wants you to be. Well, Our missions right now is on target for about 148,000 this year. Amen. In just a few years. You say, well, it could be better, couldn't it? Amen. If everybody got a hold of this thing. Amen. I don't know how much y'all going to get to give. He said it's going to look like about take on about 50 new missionaries. I'm thinking about surrendering the mission field. Boy, I tell you, that's something you don't have to grudge. Amen. It's not a necessity. Amen. You understand that, don't you? And by the way, let me say this. Your tithe is a necessity. Amen. Yeah. You want the blessings of God in your life? Amen. You better put the tithe in. Amen. Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. But you listen to me. Now, it's not optional. Tithing is not optional. Amen. But you listen to me. And by the way, that's what he said there in verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians, there in chapter number 8. He said, I don't speak this by commandment. You know what he was saying? He's saying this is something that you ought to want to do. Amen. Being a part of missions. Amen. Like that church at Macedonia. And by the way, like the brother quoted to Paul out of Philippians today, do you realize that Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19 is a promise to a missions-giving and a missions-minded church? But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Why? Because they ministered unto Him. And over and again, they helped the man of God. They helped the missionary. Paul was saying, God's going to bless you. Amen. God's going to meet your needs. Amen. It ought to be something you want to do. Amen. There's something that you want desperately bad. Amen. Now, I'm not against you having things. God ain't against you having things. But God is against things having you. Amen. Some of us are so bound by our covetousness. Amen. We're so bound up. No wonder we can't have revival in the house of God. No wonder we can't get back to what God intended for us to have. Hey, you listen to me. Turn loose of that junk. Amen. It ain't nothing but stuff. We're talking about investing in the souls of men. By the way, there ain't nothing wrong with a businessman investing in his business. Making that thing grow. Why? So you can be productive. That's great. That's good. But you listen to me. We're so consumed with materialism in our day, in this country today, we have forgot what God left us here. We got to get back to keeping the main thing, amen, and getting the gospel just as God intended to begin with. Out to everybody, amen. I like the fact this church goes after sinners, amen. You know why I like that? Because if I'd have been living in Bowden, you'd found me. I was one of the biggest. Brother Felton, I was one of the biggest sinners in our area. I was raised in the oil field. I was a driller, worked on an old drilling rig. Now, I'm telling you, I'm not going to go there. But I'm just thankful tonight. I'm thankful that God got my attention. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight that the Lord found me. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that Jesus is a friend of sinners. Amen. Well, what's so hard about this? What? I'll tell you what. The devil do everything and anything he can try to get us sidetracked off of the main business. Amen. He did. Jesus had already given the Great Commission. We'll look at it in just a little bit. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, whichever one it is. 16, 15. And Matthew 28, he'd already given the Great Commission. Now, in Acts chapter 1, we have the disciples. He tells them, by the way, he said, now, you to go to the upper. Remember, he'd showed many fallible proofs. He'd been 40 days with them after his resurrection. And he reminded them of their responsibility. He said now in verse number 8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Same word we get our word martyr from. Uh-huh. Well, we don't want to hear it, do we? You mean I'm supposed to be willing to lay down my life? Hey, the way of the transgressor is hard, but whoever told you that being what the Lord wants you to be was going to be easy? Huh? Yeah. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utter... He said both, by the way. I left that key word out, didn't I? Both in Jerusalem, or Judea and Samaria. You know what that means at the same time? So, preacher, you can't be two places at once. No, sir, but my influence can be. Amen. I can't be here in the Philippines at the same time. But I have invested something in a young lady and a young man, and those parents have invested something. Hey, you listen to me. That's going into all the world. Amen. And by the way, it is a mighty cheap thing to give money to help somebody that's going to be a representative for me. To give them my money. I would do anything I could to help folks. God didn't call us into the world to go bake cookies. He didn't call us in the world to go plant flyers. Hey, or hand out flyers. Hey, He said to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. We have a responsibility. You say, but preacher, they ain't all going to get saved. How long it take you to figure that out? That's God's job. Amen. My job simply to tell them. My job is simply to send them. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses. Amen. And by the way, he goes on in verse number 9 and 10 through the next few verses there. And you know what the disciples have asked Jesus. Jesus said, are you coming back now? Are you going to restore the kingdom at this time? Said, is that why you're here now? And now after your resurrection, now you're going to... He said, it's not for you to know. He said, the Father hath that power. And you don't need it. Amen. He said, I've left you a job to do. He told them at the end of the book of Luke. Amen. He told them at the end of the book of Matthew and Mark and John that they had a responsibility, and that was to preach the gospel with the power of the Holy Ghost on their lives and get the gospel into all the world. So, just a little while, two men in white apparel stood. Ye men in Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. This same Jesus is coming back. You know what? Already, they forgot what Jesus said to do. Hey, you listen to me. There's still a lot of churches. A lot of church members just looking up, twiddling the thumbs. Amen. We got a job to do. Hey, you listen to me. He's coming back one day. And we got a bunch of stargazers. Amen. Just folk looking around. So, well, I'm just occupying. Hey, by the way, you get an occupation. Amen. And you get busy doing something for God and doing what you can to help somebody else do something for God. I'll guarantee you it's going to make a big difference when he does return. Amen. And he is coming. And I am going. Amen. Someone said one of these days, thank God, how that trumpet sounds, we're going to leave this world like Superman, amen. But thank God, amen, we're going to come back like the Lone Ranger on a white horse, amen. I'm glad that, by the way, he's coming, I'm going. But understand this, we have a responsibility. We got a lot of folk that are just gazing. Then we got folk that are going. That means we got need folk that'll be giving. Amen. Yeah, hey, you listen. Did you notice that in verse number 8? That they did not charge the Gentiles for the gospel. If you're here saved tonight, it didn't cost you a dime. Nobody charged you anything. And by the way, if they did, heavy is hanging over their head. I'd hate to be in their shoes. Amen. Hey, you listen to me. Because you have received it now. Amen. This ought not to be a commandment. It ought not to be grudgingly. It ought not to be of necessity. It ought to be because, hey, I know what the Lord did for me, and if He'll save me, preacher, I know there ain't a sinner in this world that God couldn't and wouldn't save. Amen? Well, you say, preacher, What are you? What do you think our responsibility is? You know, there's a reason that when children are born into a family, they're babies and they don't do much. You just feed them, clothe them, diaper them, all that kind of stuff, and they don't do nothing in return. But Leah back there is 12 years old. She's back there, I think, watching the youngest. But there'd be something wrong if at 12 years old, her mom and I are still sticking a bottle in her mouth and doing everything for her. Hey, she's got responsibilities now. She's a part of the family now. So we, and you know why? That's the reason a lot of folk don't feel like they're a part of the church. Because there's little involvement or none. Amen. Now thank God for your presence. Amen. But you listen to me, just as much as the man of God needs the power of God on his life, so do you. So do I. We need the power of the Holy Ghost of God to touch our life and to use what we've got, what he's equipped us with for his cause. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I get to take part in it. Fellow helpers to the truth, and I'll give you this, we'll be done, but you know, there are several things I want to just draw attention to. And the faith promise plan, now that involves several things in giving to missions. Now, by the way, we said that the tithe is the Lord's. It belongs to the Lord. Amen. Yes. And yet we understand that it doesn't stop there. Amen. We grow in grace. And we, if you will, take part in what God has left us to here to do. Some of us think that we're supposed to just sit around and smile and look good. Amen. Occupy pew space. And I'm glad for your attendance. I already said that. Amen. But everybody can do something. And this is one of those areas that everybody can do something. You think it's a... I heard an evangelist we had just the other day. He said, there are more people right now being saved in the world than there ever has been in all of history past. Right now. Not in America. But in the Philippines. And India. It's hard for us to comprehend they're being saved by the hundreds and even thousands. It's hard for us to understand that, but by the way, let me say this. They ain't got all the junk that Americans have that's sidetracking them and keeping them and think they don't even need God. By the way, we need Him, amen? Well, we're about to let an opportunity pass us by if we don't do everything we can. Not just at home. Thank God. Yes, at home. That's Jerusalem. Do you know what? By the way, the reason that persecution came, you remember after Saul consenting unto Stephen's death, persecution came on the church. Saul was one of those persecutors. There was a reason for it. Because, again, they weren't doing what God told them to do. So the persecution came so that they would be scattered abroad. Amen. Do you see it coming on America? Hey, by the way, there used to be a time you'd get a pat on the back for saying you're a Christian. Now you get a knife in the back. Hey, listen to me. I'm glad that God has blessed us so and He's given us so much. But we are accountable to Him with what He's given us. Fellow helpers to the truth. Well, the product is of God and that being faith. I'm talking about faith promise missions. And your faith, by the way, will lead you the right way. And in many areas of your life, the whole Christian life is based upon faith, as we know. But not faith in our faith, but faith. I'm glad I have a Bible. In a promise. Amen. In a promise from God. In a Philippians 4:19. Faith, by the way, in a Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I'll answer thee. On and on we could go. I'm glad that we tonight have a book that's worthy of us investing our lives in and directing our faith. Our faith is not in our faith. That's that name it and claim it crowd. That's that blab it and grab it crowd. Amen. Well, your faith just wasn't enough. Hey, wait a minute. The truth is that our faith needs to have a promise from God. Amen. And by the way, if you do, then it don't matter what else is against you. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Well, amen. Faith is not believing that God will do what I want Him to do, but it's believing that He will do what He said He would do. Now, don't veer off, amen. Don't go off on a tangent. Don't go off, hey, you listen to me, you climb a tree, and you better not tempt God. He may just let you fall, amen. Jesus didn't even do that. Satan, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, I'm not going to get chasing that rabbit right now. I believe there's several things that God reveals in His Word concerning faith. First off, we know we can't even be saved without faith. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The kids quoted that out of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse number 6, a while ago. We can't be saved without faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. No salvation. We can't please God without faith. It's impossible to please Him. Must believe that He is. That He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He is a rewarder, by the way. You know what? It would serve us well tonight if you don't get anything else this evening. We would learn just to take the long look. As seeing Him who is invisible in that same chapter. Moses did, didn't he? Amen. Set your affection, Colossians said, on things above, not on things on the earth. We want to invest right now and get the blessing right now. By the way, you might want to check it out in Hebrews chapter 10, I believe verse number 36. For you all have need of patience. All of us have need of patience. After that, you've done the will of God that you might receive the promise. Hey, you listen to me. There's coming a day. There's coming a reward time. Amen. You're going to wish at the bema seat, and you're going to wish at the judgment seat of Christ that you'd listen to that preacher, amen. You'd listen to this preacher. Now you go ahead and burn it. Listen to me. Moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. And again, you know, I don't believe God's against you having money. He's just against money having you. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of it. I thank God we got some folk in the independent Baptist church that's got some money. We've got a couple in our church. We got a little bit, not a whole lot. Brother Jimmy's one of them. But you know, there ain't nothing wrong with that. You don't have to feel guilty about the things that you have. Hey, by the way, I got thinking about it. You know why that preacher right there has been blessed as he has? You probably already know why. Because he's just reaping what he sown. Amen. He has been blessed, hasn't he? Amen. You're looking at another preacher who's been blessed. Like I said, every time I turn around, God's blessing me, man. I don't know why, other than the fact that He's promised in His Word that if we give, it will be given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosoms. I like it, don't you, preacher? Amen. It works a lot better that way than me trying to figure everything out. You say, but that's for you preachers. It would be good if you had a God, wouldn't it? Amen. Hey, listen to me. The same God that I serve and pray to will do the same thing for you He's done for me that He's done for your pastor. Amen. Hey, you listen to me. He's better than any of us, better than any of us deserve tonight. Amen. He's been so good to me. Amen. I thank God again. By the way, when you just considered, man, I tell you, I love that song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I believe y'all used the tune this morning. But I like that verse especially, Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Amen. I'm glad what the psalmist said in chapter 23. Amen. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I know what's behind me, brother. I know what's coming up my way, brother Bowman. I'm glad tonight to know that God has got goodness. I believe it was Dr. Seitler. I'm not sure which one it was. But I read a illustration book, and that preacher, it said that every good shepherd needs a couple of good sheep pounds. And I'm glad that God's got them. Every time I try to stray, I'm glad that goodness comes along and runs me back into the fold. Amen. Every time I go this way, here comes mercy. And the goodness of the Lord leads you to repentance. Amen. Ain't God good? Amen. Church, you listen to me. God's been better to us than we deserve. Amen. Well, I tell you, I'm excited again about the privilege that He'd allow me to get, to give to missions, to get to take part in it. It is an honor and it is a privilege. The product is the faith. The just shall live by his faith, not by his feelings. Thank God for feelings. Amen. I'm glad for feelings. But feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. But thank God my warrant is in His, the Word of God, and all else is worth believing. Hey, you want a constant in your life? Here it is. Amen. Amen. I'm glad we've had some good feeling today. I'm glad there's been some shouting, amen. It's just a result of what we've claimed, amen, and recognizing that God is good to His Word, amen. What a joy it is to know that He is, by the way, blessing this church and doing the things that He's done here. There's a lot of churches, a lot of pastors that they see another church being blessed and the Lord doing some things there, they get jealous. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Amen. I ain't running that man's race. He's running it. And he's doing a mighty good job of it. Amen. And I ain't running yours either. I'm trying to run mine. Paul said, by the way, I fought a good fight. You know what the prize is there in Philippians? The finish line. Because there's somebody that will always be able to do a better job at what you do than you do. Somebody will always beat you. Amen, but you listen to me, not in the economy of God. If you'll just do what you're supposed to do, and God says, by the way, all He requires out of you is that you be found faithful, amen. And just go ahead. I want to be faithful to the fight, amen. Paul was. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. And by the way, he was faithful to the fight. He was faithful. He said, I've kept the faith. He was faithful to the faith, but he was faithful to the finish. Amen. I want to cross, step over that finish line. A lot of folk get a good start and then they fizzle out. Call them Alka-Seltzer Christians. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Amen. Then they're gone. Amen. Hey, listen to me. God started a work in you. Philippians 1:6, Bible tells us He hath begun a good work in you. We'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He ain't giving up on you. Don't you give up. You say, but preacher, things are tough. Things are rough. Well, just join the club. Amen. Amen. Hey, you listen to me. I got problems. You got problems. We all got problems. That's quite all right. We got a God that is a problem solver, and He is bigger than anything that you'll ever face. He's bigger than any problem you ever had or ever have. Amen. And I'm glad I get to serve Him tonight. I'm glad I get to do what God wants me to do. I still remember where He brought me from. I know where I'd be tonight. But for Jesus. You think I'm going to walk around with the mully grubs and down in the mouth? All I got to do is go back to 1980. And remember where He found me. And all I got to do is look around that crowd that I was running with then. See where they are now. Five of us running together. Their lives are miserable. They wrecked them. They ruined them. Their families, their homes are split up and they're gone different ways. One guy, by the way, named Jimmy, called me one night and said, Rusty, I want you to know, you try to get me to get, he said, get religion. I brung him to a revival. Nearly had the whole time to get him there. And he came down and he said, you know, I went down. He said, I prayed that prayer. I said, yeah, Jimmy. He said, well, I did it just to get you off my back. Yeah. Well, I said, I'm sorry about that, Jimmy. He said, but I want you to know, he's on his third, fourth wife, about that many. I'm not beating anybody up here tonight. And he said, you made the right decision. I made the wrong one. By the way, a man that, he scored in the top 10 on the ACT in his graduating class. can't hardly string four words together in the same sentence now because drugs have so burned his brain. But I wept with him on the phone. I said, Jimmy, I said, the Lord will still take you where you are. Amen. He'll still save you. And though you've wasted some time, I did too, I'm here to tell you that He'll save you right now. Just come as you are. Amen. And by the way, He wouldn't do it. I wish to God He would have. As far as I know, He's still lost. I sure hope He gets saved. I sure want Him to. I didn't mean to get sidetracked there, but... Oh, I'm thankful. In spite of me, that God's good all the time. Amen. The product is of God, is faith. The promise is of God. Even in our tithing, even in our giving. You know, I wouldn't... Someone asked a question one time and said, would you turn your back on all the promises of God for $10 million? In other words, you denied God's promises and you could not claim one of God's promises. Would you take the $10 million? By the way, you could live off the interest off $10 million. Probably better than most of us live now. Just the interest. And by the way, when I was asked the question, I said, all the gold in Fort Knox wouldn't cause me to forfeit one of the promises of God. Because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. My treasure's laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's home. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world ain't my home. Amen. This world ain't got nothing for the child of God. Hey, we got a job to do while we're here. No wonder, by the way, we're considered as enemies to the world. By the way, no wonder they don't understand what we're doing and what's going on. They're aliens, and by the way, they think we are. But they're aliens to the commonwealth. They're strangers to the family of God, amen. But thank God tonight I know that God's left us here for a reason. And it's not even, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, it's not even worthy to compare the sufferings of this present life, not even worthy to compare the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. A higher plane than I have found. Hey, you listen to me. That's what every child of God ought to be doing tonight. Hey, I want to do more, not less. I'm thankful for God's promises. I'm not going to... I am not for sale tonight. Because I done been bought. Amen. I'm not going to sell out to a bunch of junk that's going to burn or rust. Amen. I'm not going to sell out to popularity. Amen. Boy, thank God that the Rochesters are still singing with the touch and the power of God on them. Amen. Too often, folks especially, they get bragged on all the time about how talented they are. Boy, there's a temptation there, isn't it? We all have that temptation. We all still have this old flesh. And they become, a lot of times, entertainers. Amen. But they're still in the house of God on the Lord's Day. This is the Lord's Day, by the way. You say, preacher, I'm ready to go. This is the Lord's Day. It ain't yours. Well, I'm going to let you go. It's God's plan, though, isn't it, last of all? It's His plan. The purpose of the plan is to get the gospel to the lost, to show the love and concern to the brethren, missionaries, to strangers, to the lost. In verse number 5, he mentioned there in 3 John. By the way, you and I then have a responsibility as a fellow helper to provide food, shelter, provision. See, preacher, you're just preaching this because you've got a son-in-law that's going to mission field. I was preaching this before you ever surrendered a mission field. I was participating in it before it ever got in my family. You said, preacher, what if God calls you to the mission field? I'll go. I would. I'd gladly go. Do you know what God's called me to do right now? To be a missionary's helper. A fellow helper to the truth. And I told the Lord, anywhere He lets me preach, if He'll allow me to, any time I have the opportunity, I'm going to try to be a helper for missionaries. Isn't it sad that missionaries have spent 2.5-3 years to raise enough support? I really believe this. Well, I have missionaries that I honestly have to turn down because we're just overwhelmed. I could have a missionary every service. We almost do, don't we, Brother Jim? I could. Don't you come fussing at the man of God because he has a bunch of missionaries in. Well, they're heroes around our place. They are. We're not going to fuss about them around our place. Amen. And I believe this, that they most of them wouldn't even be having to call me if all the fundamental Baptist churches in America today were doing what they were supposed to be doing and what God wants them to do concerning missions. I believe we'd be looking for more missionaries rather than seeing if it's a missionary and not answering the phone. We'd be calling them to come. I really believe that. So I'm not saying you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, everything that you can be doing. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying there are a lot of churches that do not have the mind of God concerning missions. Do you know what? I can attest to this. That God has blessed this preacher. God has blessed our church. Because of the church's mission-minded. Having the mind of God. Isn't it sad that a lot of people think a missionary is just somebody that failed at everything else, couldn't do nothing else, so he decided to be a missionary? That is a pitiful philosophy. By the way, this young man was doing very well in the business world. He was climbing the ladder faster than probably anybody in that company has ever done. Was making excellent money. He told me he's going to go surrender to go to the mission field, and I said, "Are you sure?" Told me the raise that they offered him. I'm trying to lift him up. I'm just saying that missionaries are not a second-class citizen. Amen? They are called of God to do a work of God. We'll do everything. If you can't give them anything, pray for them. If you can't do anything for them, encourage them. Write a letter. Call them. Do something. Thank God we got young men, young ladies that are willing to go to the mission field and do what I don't have to do. But I can sure take part in what God... Amen? I'll just share this with you and I'll close and I'll share something else with you and I'll close again. I think y'all know. Matter of fact, Sister Bowman's kin to Miss Dale LeBeau. Brother Kent LeBeau was my assistant pastor when I was over in West Louisiana on Toledo Bend over there. And anyway, he surrendered to go to the mission field, go to Israel to reach the Jews. And so anyway, time rolled on. He raised his support, got everything together. By the way, Brother Kent's just like Brother Kurt. He's legally blind, got the same disease. He's a little older than Brother Kurt. Got that retinitis, pigmentosis, whatever. By the way, what's your excuse again? Preacher, I would. I just can't. Anyway, I went all night and not said that, huh? Raised his support. Preacher's time to go. Well, he had 6 youngins, and Miss Seal had become a mama just about to, well, all the little ones especially little Ellie. Preacher, would you take us to the airport? I said, I don't want to. He said, we need somebody to take us. He said, you're as close as any family we've got. Brother Larry Bryant was going to ride over, fly over with them, help them get settled in. I said, okay, we'll do it. Loaded everything up. They had 17 army duffel bags packed with pots and pans and clothes and you name it. It was quite a trip. So we loaded it up, got to the airport. put the bags on the thing. Back then, you could go all the way up to the departure place with them. And so anyway, we put the thing. They weighed them. They could only weigh 70 pounds back then. Several of them were 10, 15 pounds over. So here we are in the middle of the airport, and they got six kids running on running up down the airport with them luggage buggies, riding them up and down. Well, Miss Christie's trying to get everything. Of course, Brother Ken can't see nothing. He don't know what's going on. I'm trying to corral the kids. Miss Seal's helping Miss Christie get everything packed around. They had to rearrange everything right out there in the airport. Got junk scattered all over the airport. Finally, we get it all straightened out and head up to the parts of the place. And we were sitting there and we was all crying to say our goodbyes. And Brother Kent, being handicapped, they was walking him through a different place, and he was going to get on the plane first, he and his family. They got him around there and started walking in and come back, and we were sitting there. We, again, was drying eyes and all that kind of stuff. Looked up, and here come Ellie running out of that little corridor where they walk in to go to the plane. She got it loose from her mama. She was crying, screaming the whole time, "I don't want to go. Miss Seal, don't let them take me." She come running out of there crying. She grabbed hold of my wife's legs. And I'll never forget the picture. "I don't want to go. I don't want to go." Miss Seal crying, finally got her back with her mom. And they went on. Miss Seal went to the ladies' powder room. Do whatever you ladies do in there after you've been crying. And she was in the powder room. And we were sitting in there. There was a lady by us there. Lady didn't know us from Adam's house cat. I looked over there and she was just boo-hooing. She was by herself. She had been watching what was going on here. And I told Miss Hill about it when she come out. You know, a lot of times we forget what a missionary's leaving. They're leaving their the comforts of this country a lot of times. They're leaving their family. They're leaving their friends. But I'll never forget it. It gave me a new outlook and a new perspective concerning missions and what missionaries have to go through. And I know this just as sure as I'm standing here, that one day soon there's going to be another trip to an airport. I know you've heard the illustration, but it is fitting to close with. Theodore Teddy Roosevelt had been over to Africa hunting. Came back to New York Harbor. There's a missionary and his wife, you've heard it, on the boat with them. They come into the harbor, and there, the fan flares and everything. The president had killed several African animals. They was welcoming him home. Everything. I mean, the press was there, the crowd was there, and they was all hollering and screaming and welcoming the president home. There was a missionary and his wife that had spent 20 years in Africa as missionaries. They were watching all this. And they noticed that when the president got off, and all of the people were making such a to-do over the president for going over there and killing some animals. And by the way, I don't have nothing against that. I'd like to do that myself. This missionary got to thinking about it. There was not one person there to meet him when he got off the boat. There was nobody to pat him on the back to say, "Well done." After all the people he had reached in Africa, the malaria he had gone through, everything that he had suffered for the cause of Christ. And he did like we do a lot of times, got poochy lip disease and started pouting. "God, after all I've done, look. Nobody even notices." Went to his room. He was pouting and complaining to his wife. "Nobody cares. God's not fair to us." Said, "I've heard enough." He asked her, said, "Why in the world would the Lord not allow us to get at least some recognition for what we've done?" She said, "I don't know. Go to your prayer closet." It was in a little apartment they had rented. "Go to your closet and pray and ask the Lord. I don't know what to tell you." He came back out in a little while. Said, wife told him, said, "Hon," said, "the reason they was welcoming the president because he was coming home." He come back out and he said, she said, "You get an answer?" He says, yes, ma'am, got an answer. So no fanfare, with nobody there to meet us on the shore. Said, because the Lord said, we're not home yet. I don't know what you're doing for the Lord, but we all have need of patience after we've done the will of God that we might receive the promise. Just keep on keeping on. Just stay faithful. Stay in the fight. Stay to the finish. Amen. I don't know what you could do for missions. You may be doing everything that you can be doing. But hey, listen to me. There's not a greater investment of anything that the Lord's given you. Not a greater way to invest than the souls of men and women. What a privilege the Lord gives us. With our head bowed. Are you a fellow helper to the truth? Maybe the Lord's dealing with somebody here tonight about going. Maybe the Lord's dealing with somebody about giving. Maybe some folk realize they've just been gazing. You could make a difference. And God could make a difference in your life. I know we don't call everybody to the mission field. But have you ever told Him, I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do? You ever surrendered to God's will for your life? Maybe you need to do that tonight. I ain't fussing at you. Thank God for what you're doing. It's more than most, but hey, listen. We're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. Are you doing what you can? Are you looking for ways to do more for Him? I don't want my life to be a waste. I want to stand before the Lord one day and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If you need to come, invitation will be open in just a moment. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a missionary. You may be a mission field. You need to be saved. I want you to come. The Lord will save you if you let Him. He wants to. Maybe other decisions you need to make tonight. I want you to come in just a moment. Do business at this altar. Father, thank You, Lord, for the privilege to take part in the work of God. Lord, we need more fellow helpers to the truth. More folk like Gaius, Demetrius. More folk that will say, I can do more for You. Lord, I just pray that You'll help us. Lord, be mindful about the business You've left us here. We're part of Your family, we're part of the church, and we have a responsibility, we know, to get the gospel every place we can. Preach to every creature. Now help us be mindful of the main thing tonight. Thank You again for this dear pastor and this church. Again, I ask that You'll confirm the work that needs to be done in every heart here tonight. In Jesus' name.